much for the trio this morning. And let's take our Bibles and go to Proverbs chapter number 12. Proverbs chapter number 12. I look forward to this new sermon series that we're going to begin. I trust it will pique your interest and it will cause you to want to be here on Sunday morning. Now that the choir is down, some folks who arrived a little bit later, what a dynamic attendance we have today. It is thrilling to see so many of you here this morning. Now let's jump right into our message. Take your handout. Again, you'll use this handout for the next 2 weeks. I trust that you'll take good notes and you'll review the notes during the course of the week. 2020 and the start of 2021 have been anything but normal. In fact, my wife said yesterday, she says, January has merely been the 13th month of 2020. We do not need to recap all that has and is currently taking place, but please understand that for most of us, that proverbial box has been squashed. It's been flattened. It's been run over. It's been destroyed. And we no longer know which way is up or which way is down. And this morning, I'm going to begin a journey. It's going to be a multi-month journey. It's brand new. We're writing it as it goes. We're studying as we go forward. But it's going to be entitled, Living Outside Your Box. And so, really, it goes with the theme, Outside Your Box. This is going to be an unusual year. And the fact is, what do I mean by a box? A box or a paradigm. It's the way we have always lived. In other words, we know that when we get our paycheck on Friday, generally speaking, we go to the bank. For some of you, you go into the bank and you see your favorite teller. You cash your check. You put the money in the tithing envelope, making sure you give back to the Lord. For some of you, and others of you, you go pay your bills. And that's part of your box. You've been going to the same restaurant for years, and you request your favorite server. You sit in your favorite booth. You order the same thing that you ordered the last time you were there. That's your box. Your box is that when you go to church, you had your own seat. And you always got to sit in your seat, and it was your seat, and bless God, no one else was going to sit in your seat. That was your box. That was your paradigm. That was yours. Hey, when you did come to church, you were going to shake hands with that favorite person. You were going to hug their neck if you really loved them. That was part of the box. That's part of life. Think about when you went shopping at the mall, you could go in and you can touch and you can feel and you can pinch. That was your box. It was normal. It was ordinary. It was the same year after year after year. And oh, occasionally you would hear that preacher go on some rampage about some television show and talk about television or the movies or something that was going on in the world and politics or whatever. And you would say, oh, he'll get over that. And you got back in your box. Everything was normal. And then 2020 happened. And here's what happened. Our box became anything but normal. May I share with you, in January we heard in Wuhan, China, there was something called a Chinese virus. By the way, every news media outlet called it the Chinese virus in January of 2020. That's the other side of the world. We didn't pay much attention to it until suddenly, airfare was restricted, and we couldn't. There's parts of the world that they couldn't come to the United States. Well, then we started to pay attention. In fact, as a staff, we started talking about this because I had traveled in and out of China so many times, and we were taking a mission trip to Myanmar. We were talking about what was going on with this virus, and later named COVID. And then here's the thing. Air travel started, and then in March, our box took the first hit. What happened in March? They shut everything down. No more church. And all across this country, there was no more church. We took a hit. We didn't know what to do. The virus had come to the United States. And so schools were upset. And churches were upset. And still to this day, there are schools that haven't started having school yet. Everything is online. And then the malls closed. No one was allowed to go shopping anymore. Oh no, my favorite store that I always went to, I couldn't go to anymore. And then that preacher at Tucson Baptist Church, we went through and we started live stream and we had to do church different, and he let us come back to church. And it was so exciting. We couldn't wait. We came back to church. And then you know what he said? I can't shake hands anymore. Who does he think he is? And our box is slowly being destroyed. And then, do you know that they closed restaurants? And then when they finally, even though we still have restrictions, we live in the state of Arizona, it's a lot better than some other states, Michigan, New York, California, it's a lot better than some other states. They reopened the restaurants. I'll never forget, as soon as they reopened the restaurants, Shelley and I, we went to one out on 22nd Street called Village Inn. It was open. It wasn't takeout anymore. They were allowing customers to come to the restaurant. Shelley and I, we were going out to eat for the first time. A restaurant reopened. And we came in, and there's these little circles on the floor. Stand there, stand there, stand there. We couldn't even stand near anyone. And then finally, we sat down at our table, and it was like the server thought we were aliens. I'll never forget that first meal. She had on gloves, she had on masks, and she brought out the big round serving thing, and she put it, and she says, here's your menu. We had to get our menu off. She brought out the food we had to take our own food off of. She was like terrified of us. We couldn't even eat normal anymore. Now, I know we really mess with some of you now. There's something called a mask. Now, listen. There are people here this morning wearing masks that does. You know what? You have a right to do that. If you want to wear a mask, you can wear a mask. You know what? If you want to wear your mask to sleep in, you can wear your mask to sleep in. If you're the only person in your car and you want to wear a mask, you go ahead. You can wear a mask. That is your right. You can wear a mask. They've been doing it in China. They've been doing it in China for many years. I've been to China 50 times. Every time I go to China, on the subway, they wear masks. And apparently the masks work very well in Wuhan. Here in America, we were introduced to masks, and it started out as something that you would see some people doing, and now they are mandating it. I tell you, this week, I flew to Tampa, Florida to go to a church planters conference. And at the church planters conference, there was 125 pastors that came together, pastors who were presenting. You know what? We still need to start churches. We still need to reach people. And so we went to this, but I got on the plane and I was about to explode if they made that announcement one more time. Your pastor was going to be in the news. If you want to fly on United Airlines, you will wear your mask completely covering your nose and your mouth. This is your final warning. Well, who's violating this? Are they going to land the plane in Kansas or something? I don't know what's going on here. And they announced it over and over. I counted 12 times. If there had been a 13th time, I'm sorry, I wouldn't have been here this morning. I was ready to jump out the emergency door. Now, think of the logic. Now, listen, I'm talking about our boxes have been destroyed. I mean, think about this. Am I talking to logical people this morning? Okay, they made an announcement. If you're eating or drinking, it's okay to remove your mask. Well, thank you. Now, I'm from West Virginia. I was sharing this with somebody on Friday. I'm from West Virginia. I own it. I do not have the highest IQ in this room. There are many of you that are smarter than me. There are many of you that are brighter than me. I mean, I'm from West Virginia, okay? If you're from West Virginia, I just offended you. You get over it. You understand, all right? And we said ain't and gots. It was part of our language that we learned that in grammar school. I ain't going to go there, and I gots to go there. I mean, we learned that. That was just good English in West Virginia. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. My elevator doesn't always go to the top. I understand that. But I'm smart enough to know this. I'm on an airplane. I'm in a fuselage. There are 50 people in this plane. It's an R-700, and I've been on that plane many times, and there's only one bathroom on that plane. And here's the thing. If I want to eat or drink, I can remove my mask. And guess what? That virus won't infect anybody if I'm eating or drinking. But when I'm not eating or drinking, I better have that mask on because that virus is going to affect everybody on the plane. It's about control. My box, someone has stomped all over my box. Now, please understand, I'm going somewhere with this. Our boxes have been flattened. The things that were true 1 year ago in January are not true today. We're not reaching people like we once did. We're afraid to talk to people. Our own church. Oh, by the way, did you notice I didn't talk about politics on my box? I've got all of you with me right now, so I'm not going to go there. Okay? So we're just going to leave that one alone, because then the box, it would be really small. Our boxes have been destroyed, but may I just narrow that funnel down to Tucson Baptist Church? We get excited because there's people coming to church. In January, we expected you to be here. You were going to be here. You loved your church. And we always knew there was a Sunday morning crowd, but you know what has happened? Over the last 10 to 11 months, many of those Sunday morning only people have been weeded out. The wheat and tares have been separated. And honestly, only those who want to come to be encouraged, to hear music that honors the Lord, to hear preaching that honors the Lord, only those people are coming now. Now those, I want to be very clear, because there's going to be some people live stream. You have an underlying health condition. I've said it hundreds of times. You're staying home to be protected. I am not talking to you. All right? Thank you for being safe. Thank you for being strong. You're doing what you should do. You have faithfully watched. Thank you so much. But there are many people that still go to work, still go to the mall during their limited hours. They still do this, they still do that, but they won't step foot in church. You know what? We've separated the wheat and tares. Our boxes have been destroyed. So is life over? Do I just accept things? Or is there something in the Word of God that can help me? May I just tell you, Jesus Christ is still on the throne. He's still seated at the right hand of the Father. He still hears our prayer requests. He still answers our prayers. And he still does amazing things. And so let me just tell you, we can still live outside the box. So we can throw the box to the side. And we can learn to live outside the box. So I would like to preach a two-part message this morning. And with your handout, I trust that this will be a help to you. Beginning in February, as we transition from this week and next week and lay the foundation, we're going to do character studies of men and women in the Bible. And we're going to find out, when their life was turned upside down, can you think of some people that their lives were turned upside down? How about Jonah? How about Elijah? How about Moses? When we see some characters in the Bible like a Rahab, and their lives were turned upside down, how did they live? How did they make it? We're going to do character studies when their box was smashed. How did they live? How did they survive? How did they make difficult decisions? How was the relationship with God and others impacted? Proverbs chapter 12 this morning, I invite you to stand with me as we read one verse, and I want to give you a challenge as we're still standing. Proverbs chapter number 12, this verse is amazing. It has lit a fire under me. I can't wait to share this verse with you, And I'm going to ask you to memorize this verse, because we're going to see it over and over again in the coming weeks. This is a fantastic verse. Proverbs 12, verse 25. Proverbs 12, verse 25. Listen to this verse. Heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop. Do I have to do a lot of explanation for that? Let me just say, if I use my box here, my box, my routines, my normal life that I once had, those people at church that I once shook their hand and hugged their neck, that offering plate that once was passed, those outreaches that we once had, the choir that was once full, all of those things that's been squashed is a heaviness. It's caused me to stoop. It's caused my body to ache. It's caused a physical reaction in my body. I think we can understand that. Look at the rest of that verse. But a good word maketh it glad. What's a good word? A message from the Word of God. A timely word from a friend or a brother or sister in Christ. A good word. Can we read this verse together? Proverbs 12, verse 25, all of us together. Heaviness. I'm begging you to memorize this verse this week. This is going to become part and parcel of this sermon series. As what we're going to do is we're going to focus and recognize, yes, there's some heaviness. There's some boxes that have been destroyed. There's been some routines. There's been some schedules. There's been some uncomfortable things that's happened. There has been politics. There has been a virus. There has been a disruption in church. That heaviness has caused us to stoop. It's caused us to bend. But we don't want to break, because the answer is a good one. Word maketh it glad. And I want us to understand this morning that we are responsible for the good word, not the world. And some of us, we're stooping, we're bending, we're about to break. And I want to challenge us, it's our responsibility to share a good word and the joy that comes with that. Father in heaven, I ask that you'll help us in this sermon series. I ask that you'll give me energy and enthusiasm. May I represent your word well. May we have people who look forward to their hearts being challenged and encouraged and lifted up. Lord, I ask that you will help those who were unable to make it this morning, that they will watch, that they will listen and tune in to this entire message, and that they will be encouraged as well from their home. Father, those who are here this morning, thank you for the hundreds and hundreds that have made it here today. Praise the Lord, how encouraging it is. It makes my heart glad. Lord, I pray that you will help us not to allow this godless world to ruin any more good lives. Father, help us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. We all know that exercise is important for a healthy body. Spending quality time with your spouse and your children is important. Reading your Bible and praying every day, we certainly know that's important. Maintaining a balance between work and play is important in a healthy life. My point is this: you already know the right things to do. I'm not going to share something with you that you've never heard before. But here's what I do know. There's some of us who have forgotten. We've become a little crusty. We've become a little calloused to those things that are right. You know that being in a growth group would be good for you and your family. You know that. You know that having a ministry right here at TBC would be important in your life. And you know that having a daily quiet time will help you grow spiritually. The problem is that many of us, we don't prioritize our time in a way that represents those things that are important, especially in the midst of chaos, especially in the midst of our boxes or our paradigms being squashed and destroyed. May I ask you a question? I want you to answer this, obviously, to yourself. You ready? When's the last time you actually had a personal, quiet time with the Lord in Bible reading and prayer? Was it today? I sure hope so. Was it yesterday? I sure hope so. Or, man, I had to think about that. You know what? I did it on New Year's Day. Yeah, I did. I did. Wait, that's 24 days ago. When's the last time you had a meaningful time with the Lord? Today, our society, we just cannot seem to get it all done. This godless world in which we live, it preaches this, that you can have it all. The truth is, you cannot. It's a myth that you can be number one in your career, and number one in your family, and number one in your community, and number one in your church, and number one on the golf course. The world says, hey, you can have it all, but that's a myth. Most of us instinctively know that that is just not true, and you cannot have it all, and you have to make selections, and you might have to make choices in life. And still, even when you know what are those most important things in life, many times we get to the end of the week and we say something like this. We say, man, I put a lot of energy out this week, and I put a lot of effort, and there's still important things that I didn't get done. And bothers me enormously that sometimes I cannot get everything done during the course of a week, and maybe I shove some important things to the edge. And the Bible has a lot to say about our time management. In fact, the Bible says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. In other words, since you know the meaning of life, since you know that you are made by God and you are made to have fellowship with God, He has a purpose and He has a plan for your life. And you were made to relate to Him, and you should live a life with a sense of responsibility. And the result of it is, make the best use of your time for Him and not yourself. Well, how do I find time for the things that are the most important in life? Well, as I think about this and study this, there's really three barriers. I was going to use the word fences, but I decided to use the word barriers. There's three barriers that surround us. There's three things that cause us to stop being effective for the Lord. They thwart us. They prevent us from finding time for that which is important. Barrier number one is this, is that often we have unclear values. Unclear values. I really haven't figured out what's important. When I do, well, how am I going to find time to do that? You don't understand, preacher. I'm so busy now that I don't have time. Think about that. What you just said. I'm so busy that I don't have time to do those things that are important. And so oftentimes we struggle with this wall, this barrier, that I have unclear values in my life. And that leads me to the second. And many times there are people here that I have some unrealistic expectations. I have unrealistic expectations. There are some of you, there are some of you here this morning that you are confused about what I should be doing. You expect to go shopping. You expect to go to the bank. You expect to do that church thingy on Sunday morning, and you have not juggled number one very well, and so when you come to number two, I don't know what to do. So I have unrealistic expectations. I'm just going to do it all. It's unrealistic. Or maybe this is the barrier in your life, and you have some unsustained energy. You have unsustained energy. Here's the thing. There's a lot of tired people today. What do I mean by that? Could I have all of you look up here for just a moment? Pastor Howard and I, we've done lots of counseling this year. Much of it over the telephone. A few in our offices. Here's what we've discovered. When I say people are tired, I don't just mean physically. We see people are empty emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually. Remember, all of us, our box was smashed. It was run over. And in our paradigms being destroyed, in our box being run over, here's what's happened. Is we allowed the world to fill us up. What do I mean by that? For some, it was drugs. Hopefully that number is very small here this morning. For others, it may be some controlled substance. And for others, to fill up that void of my life being turned upside down, well, I have just watched television. I've just sat at home, hour after hour after hour, mindlessly watching television. For some people who really like to be persecuted, you've watched the news. And here's what's happened is you've watched the news, and I am very serious about this. There's nothing on any news channel that makes you feel better. There's nothing on any news channel that builds you up. There's nothing on any news channel that will ever point you toward God. Nothing. In fact, prayer is disdained now in public. Our boxes have been run over. I mean this respectfully. To those who are watching the live stream, to those who are looking at me right now, we've looked everywhere except for Jesus to fill that void and that emptiness. On Friday, a report was issued by the WHO. I don't know how reliable it is. I read it. You know what the concern is now all across the world? It's a word that begins with S, and it's called suicide. Suicide is rampant. People are tired. They're empty. They're looking for answers, and they're not finding it in the government. They're not finding it in the church house because Christians have become, silent. And there's been a skyrocketing percentage of suicides around the world because everywhere around this world, our boxes were run over and smashed of what was routine, normal. I'm thankful you're here this morning. It's amazing to see so many people here. You encourage me. Thank you. By the way, let's stop for a moment. Let's thank everybody that's here this morning. Let's take a moment. Everyone who took the... Yes. I just wanted to wake up a couple of my college students. Thank you so much. They stayed up late last night filling that void in their life with video games. So we have unsustained energy. I've been tired. It's not a physical tiredness. It's been a mental and emotional tiredness. Do you know how it hurts my heart that we have to announce we can't have church? That's my life. It's my DNA. It's what I eat, drink, sleep is the next Sunday, the next Sunday. I can't wait to see people. I can't wait to see our church people. I can't wait to see my brothers and sisters in Christ. I can't wait. And mentally, the toll it's taken on me. And mentally, to have to make that decision that affects hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, it's been very hard. And some of us, we have an unsustained energy. In other words, what I'm currently doing is not sustainable. I'm going to crash. I'm going to burn. Our box, it's been destroyed. And I had these barriers in my life, and these barriers in my life are preventing me from being effective in the world. When's the last time you witnessed to someone, you told them about Jesus? Oh, no, nobody wants to hear about Jesus right now. May I just tell you, there's a lot of people want to hear about Jesus right now. There's a lot of people that are worse off than you are when it comes to their box. Listen, they used to go out every Friday and Saturday to the bar and get drunk. And now their bar's been closed. And they got to spend time with family that they don't like. And we may snicker about that, but that's true. And there's family conflict going through the roof. We try to have a good relationship with the Tucson Police Department. And we've tried to maintain, we've tried to foster that. We've worked with them and with our solar panels. We've encouraged them in the heat of the day, please come and use our solar panels while they're filling out paperwork and filling out reports on their computers that are in their cars. And our staff knows we actually have some treats whenever we see a Tucson Police Department car here in our parking lot. We have a prepackaged bag that we take out to them. And all we do is, we've taught our staff, whoever does it first, great. All we want to do is just say thank you for serving. We do that over and over again. And some of them say, oh, I've already got like five of those. And well, here's another one. I mean, we're thankful for our police department. I'm not worried about saying that publicly. I'm thankful for our police. And I'm thankful that they feel free to use our parking lot. Before Christmas, so this is a little longer than a month ago, we had a policeman parked backed in, and no one had taken out. So I went into the Family Life Center, grabbed the little bag, and I took it out to him, and I said, you know, here you go, sir. And he stuck his arm out and took it, and I stood back 6 feet, anyway, we were talking, and I just said, thank you so much. Thank you for using our parking lot. Thank you for being here at Tucson Baptist Church. Love to see you. Bring your family. Come to church sometime. That didn't take any effort to say that. It was just natural. We should be saying that all the time, inviting people to church so they can hear about Jesus. I said, what are some of the things that you've seen? We don't see as many murders in the news, what's going on with the police department? And he said, well, frankly speaking, he says, the number one call we have is domestic violence. I said, what do you attribute that to? Now, I had a good idea. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what's going on. Families are spending so much time together that they're fighting. And then when you throw alcohol or drugs or pornography, or you throw all these things in here and it's given to excess, there's explosions in the home. I said, sir, what do you contribute that to? He said, we have a lot of unhealthy families. I said, wow. Here's an unsaved police officer, doesn't know Jesus. He's been able to diagnose there's a lot of unhealthy families. You know what? I don't want there to be unhealthy families at Tucson Baptist Church. And God help us if we don't preach the Word of God and help direct you to the source when your box is smashed. Jesus is still the answer. You know what? I'm thankful for Jesus. Does He hear our prayers? Does He know who you are? Now, I'm just going to be transparent with you, okay? You may not like this. And, I mean, you know, we'll get through it. We understand the concept of prayer. Pastor, growth group teacher, deacons, people that you know in your life, they say, pray. You need to pray. You need to pray. Do you pray? Do you actually talk to the Lord? Do you talk to the God of heaven through His Son, Jesus Christ? Do you actually talk to Him? Well, I don't know. I look at a lot of people that should be talking to the Lord every day. You know what we need to do sometimes? Turn off the radio. Turn off the CD player in our car. Turn off whatever you're listening to. And when you're by yourself, just talk to Him. Look kind of silly that you're talking out loud and there's nobody else in the car. And the person sitting beside you says, who in the world are they talking to? Talk to God. You're in the shower. Don't waste those minutes. Pray. You're in the quietness of the moment. You're starting to get tired at night. Turn off the TV and pray. We may not get through today. We're not going very fast here. Is that okay? Yes. We don't have to rush. When I talk about unclear values, and when I mention that many times we have unrealistic expectations, and when I talk about we have an unsustainable energy, I needed to hear from the Lord. I got to share this illustration. A couple of weeks ago, I went on a bike ride. Bike rides are good for me. Many of them are solo, and I pray. I have a playlist. I'm able to listen to some really godly music, or I'm able to listen to a podcast of a message. And so it's very useful for me physically and mentally and spiritually to do a bike ride. And so I do two or three bike rides a week, and it's just good time to exercise and all of those things. A couple of weeks ago, I went on a bike ride, and I had ridden about 23 miles at that point, and I stopped at Brandy Fenton, and I got just a little snack. I had a couple text messages I needed to answer, had one phone call I needed to make, and so I took out my retainers. I had, after I had my braces taken off, they gave me plastic retainers to keep my teeth in line, and I'm supposed to wear them as often as I can, and certainly all night long. So I took out my retainers and put them in a little pocket in my bicycling outfit, and I forgot to zip it up. I got busy talking, answering text. I had a snack, got a drink, and looked at the time. I got to go. And so I had, from there, 20 miles to get back home, and so I was trying to hurry up and get back home, and so I got home, and only one retainer was there. I was so bummed. I lost a retainer. I'm going to have to call the orthodontist. Am I going to have to pay? Shelly's going to be mad at me. And so I didn't know what to do. I mean, I knew there was no way to find it. It's just impossible. 20 miles, 20 miles. That's a needle in a haystack. I told Shelly about it. I went to bed, got up the next morning, and I said, I got to go see if, I have to go see if I can find that. And I got out of bed that morning, and I prayed. I said, Lord, I know this is, I need to find that retainer. Lord, I need you to answer my prayer. This is important. And I just poured out my heart to the Lord. It's just a piece of plastic. I could get another one. But only the Lord can answer this. Now, may I just set the stage for you? And some of you have been, you'll be able to picture this. If you've been on a bicycle from Brandy Fenton, there's about 6-7 miles that's on a bike path. And there's always people on that bike path. And there's people walking their dogs and pushing strollers. If my retainer's on the bike path, there's no way. Someone's kicked it to the side. Someone's, gross, and thrown it away. There's no way that my retainer's going to be in the bike path. But I don't know. Well, listen, I came back when I got on Speedway Boulevard. I was in the bus lane. There's no way if it fell out in the bus lane, it's going to be smashed to smithereens. Then I came up Old Spanish Trail. Well, there's just no, there's no way. I am wasting my time. No, Lord, please help me. Lord, I need to hear from you. I need to find my retainer. I'm praying. The radio's off. I'm praying. I got my bicycle. I'm going to go to Brandy Fenton. I'm going to go over those 20 miles again, re-ride those 20 miles. I'm going to look, and I'm going to see, is there any possibility that I can find my retainer? Now, some of you think it's ridiculous. You prayed about a retainer? Yes. I'm here to tell you that I found my retainer on Speedway Boulevard. It fell perfectly in the middle of that lane. How many buses every 15, 20 minutes ran right over top for 24 hours of my retainer, and it was still there? I'm so thankful for my Heavenly Father. Now, can I put that in perspective for you? It's just a little thing. Some of you say, why would you even share that? It was a big thing to me. The same God that heard Elijah's prayer, Lord, no rain, is the same God that heard Brent's prayer, Lord, can I find a piece of plastic in a road over 20 miles? That's the same God. Now, when I ask you, have you prayed? Have you begged God? Have you thanked God for salvation? Have you thanked him for the blessings that you've had in spite of your box being crushed? May I just put things in perspective for you? Yes, our box has been crushed. Yes, we can't shake hands. We can't pass offering plates. We have to wear masks when we go certain buildings and places. And yes, going to the doctor's now over a video conference call. And teenagers can't meet like they once to. And there's still students that aren't going to school. Our boxes have been flattened. And there's many people in here. You had this stinking virus, and you know that you've been sick, and the Lord has raised you back up. Praise the Lord for that. But may I just say this? Your box has been run over, but there's blessings. You're still saved. You're still going to go to heaven. He still answers your prayers. He still hears your prayers, but he doesn't hear the prayer that's never been prayed. Brother Keith and Melissa Sieber are leaving us in May to go plant a church in Palm Coast, Florida. He's made some different conversations and things like that, and they're praying about what to do, where to go, where to plant the church, raise support. He gets a phone call. Can you, over the next 15 minutes, send me information about your new church plant? What? What do you mean? We haven't even started yet. We just came up with the location. So he typed out some bullet points of things. And because they prayed, he got a phone call. And the church says, we'd like to support you in your church plant. The only prayer that God does not hear is the one that you refuse to pray. And there's a lot of you, if we're honest, it's been a long time since you prayed. It's been a long time since you prayed for a stupid retainer, a piece of plastic. It's been a long time. My grandson, Hunter, lives in Fort Worth, Texas. He's the oldest of our 8 grandchildren, and he's like the apple of his grandma's eye. They have a very close bond. They FaceTime each other, and they talk on the phone, and Shelly and Hunter, they know what's going on in each other's life. And so Hunter, he FaceTimes Shelly, and he says, Grandma, Jesus answered my prayer. He's 4. So what did he said, I just prayed that it would snow. I really wanted to see snow. It wasn't even supposed to snow. There was no talk of snow. And God heard the prayers of a 4-year-old boy and sent enough snow that they could build a snowman. But you know what? Most of us are trapped by the barriers that we have put in our own life. And you haven't broken free to live this life. We have forgotten what is important. We cannot figure out what we are supposed to be doing. God help us, but we put our confidence in a news channel. We put our confidence in a politician. We put our confidence in a political machinery. We've put our confidence in our doctor. We've put our confidence in our bank statement. We've put our confidence in our 401k. We've put our confidence in that new house that we have. We've put our confidence in that I got a promotion and I got a raise. We've put our confidence in everything but Jesus Christ. And we wonder why spiritually we're empty. Spiritually, I'm out of sync. Spiritually, I feel kind of dirty even going and talking to the Lord. I'm so far away from Him. And spiritually, our tank is empty. Church, we must fix this now. The good news is this. The Bible has a lot to say about it. The good news is this, is that there are some great things that are ahead of us if we will forget about the box, forget about our schedules, forget about our box being flattened, and we'll turn back and live for the Lord. On Tuesday of this week, this very week that we just went through, I sat in a church in Bradenton, Florida, 125 pastors. There was five or six men that were getting ready to plant a church. They're presenting their work. Six pastors who were there last year presented their work, including Pastor Jason. His brother was at this church planters conference a year ago, and they took him on for support, and he's now 1 year into his church plant. They gave a report, and it just broke my heart. A lot of times, we're like the church that is written about in the book of Revelation. It's called the church of Laodicea. What is the one word that we think of when we think of the church of Laodicea? They were what? Lukewarm. Neither hot nor cold, just lukewarm. They gave a report. And they named 43. Can you say that number out loud, 43? Churches that are without a pastor right now in America. 43. All over. This is just one group of pastors. There are thousands and thousands of churches in America. There are different camps, or there's different ideological groups of pastors. This is just one. And they named 43 churches without a pastor. Please, Satan is winning, but he won't ultimately win. What would it take for our church to die and be 44? Stop praying. Stop reading the Word of God. Stop coming to church. Stop giving so that we can enhance missions and give to missions around this world. Stop telling other people about Jesus Christ. We can be 44. Or we can say, you know what? I'm going to refill my tank. I'm going to get rid of some things out of my life that's made me feel dirty and crusty and calloused. And I need a fresh fire from the Lord. Sometimes we're afraid of terms that the charismatics have used. But may I just tell you, we need a fresh anointing from God. We need a fresh fire that fall down from the Lord. Our church will die if we don't get alive for the Lord. It's time, church, that we get alive. You know what? I'm going to stop right there. We'll get into the message next week. Because I think right now we just need to do some business with the Lord. We need to talk to the Lord right now. We need to see what I need to do about this message right now. There are some people in this room, and by watching live stream, you're away from the Lord. I'd like to ask you a question before I pray. Most of you are already packed up, so let's stand up. You're packed up, so let's stand up. But I'd like for all of you to look up here. Everyone, look up here. Everyone. I'm going to ask you one question, and then I'm going to pray. Has there ever been a time that you were closer to the Lord than you are at this moment? Has there ever been a time when you were closer to the Lord than you are at this moment? Father in heaven, you've completely changed this message. Father, as I followed your leading, I ask that you will help us to understand that our text verse talks about the heaviness, and there's a heaviness that is across our congregation from a malaise of worldliness, godlessness. I ask that you will help this good word to overcome that heaviness. Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit would do a work right now. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. This altar is open. And in just a moment, Pastor Jason's going to sing. And you can identify with a flattened box. You can identify that there's spiritually an emptiness. You can identify with the question, there was a time I was closer to the Lord than I am today. I beg you, it's time to get outside the box. It's time to live outside the box. It's time to restore that once flooded soul that loved the Lord. It's time to restore that soul. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. The altar, the front row is available if you need to be seated. You may need to be seated right where you are, but church family, it's time right now to pray and talk to the Lord. As Pastor Jason sings, would you respond?
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken, and great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you.
Many have responded. Many are seated. Many are down here at the altar. Folks, please, please take this message. Yes, your box has been run over. It has been smashed. There was a time that you were once on fire for the Lord. You loved the Lord more than you do today. Would you renew afresh and anew right now that relationship that you have? And you say, Pastor Armstrong, I don't even have this relationship that you're talking about. I would beg you to step out and to come down and see Pastor Howard down here at the front and say, take his hand and say, I need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Show me how to do that. He'll do that. As Pastor Jason sings this next verse, would you respond or continue to pray?
You give life, you are love, you bring life to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken, and great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
Let's look this way. Do we have the words to that song?
Yes, sir.
Let's see if we can find the words to that song, and let's sing that. That is an amazing song. We pour out our praise. As they're finding the words to that song, may I just remind you of Proverbs 12, verse 25. Heaviness, our box being flattened, our world coming unglued, the United States in turmoil, our church not being able to meet, family problems, heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it to stoop. But a good word maketh it glad. I trust you've heard a good word today, and that you can leave here uplifted. But it's not about any of us. It's about Him. Let's sing this song unto the Lord, and let's sing it back to Him as a...
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is We pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only.
We'll sing this next verse, you give life.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken, and great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
And all God's people said, amen. Thank you.